So the topic of my talk is plant genetic resources, and the two mega traits are the one related to climate change and human health, or in other sense nutritional aspects. We all know that the kind of pressure global community is going to get because of climate change, which is resulting in the land degradation. And some of you who have been to Africa and other places can recognize that what kind of land degradation and other things are happening. Similarly, loss of biodiversity, and obviously there is going to be a food crisis, energy crisis, because of high population with that we are expecting to get by 2050, over 9 billion. And the kind of impact climate change will have on agriculture. Temperatures will rise, heat stress will increase. Other day was the news in India that one of the city, Chennai, this is not really a rainy season in India, but lot of rains are happening. Rainy season is from June to October, but now either rain happens before June or sometime after October. So whole things are changing, and then that's what's shifting precipitations, reduced access to water, and biodiversity loss. And particularly yesterday we had opportunity to listen to Marilyn Warburton about aflatoxin contamination in maize and in peanuts. That is going to be a problem because of temperature rise. Genetic resources. If you see the second state of world genetic resources, 7.4 million accessions are conserved in over 1800 gene banks globally. But only about 25 to 30% of them are unique. Otherwise, there is repetition of several of those things. And another major aspect is, and only 10% of them are wild relatives. And loss of wild relatives is really at a very, very rapid rate. All of us also know that ITP-GRFA is in existence, International Treaty on Plant Genetic Resources for Food and Agriculture. Then Nagoya Protocol is there. And exchange of germplasm is not as freely as it happened to be earlier. However, if you see the last bullet point, 11% of these germplasm accessions, over 700,000, are in CGIAR gene banks. And CGIAR gene banks, this is in trust on behalf of global community. And these gene banks don't discriminate whether some nation or some organization is party to the treaty or not. So we provide germplasm as global public good to anybody for research and training. Obviously not for conservation. If somebody asks, give me 30,000 accession, that's not on. Only for research, training, and breeding purpose. Ecclesiastes Gene Bank, one of the largest gene bank for these, our mandate crop. Our mandate crops are sorghum, pearl millet, and finger millet is added this year. And chickpea, pigeon pea, and groundnut. We also have the germplasm of 5 small millets. Foxtail, Kodo, Barnyard, Little, and Proso millets. So 123,000 from 144 countries we do have. How to use this germplasm is really a critical issue. Because if you see even the CGIAR breeding programs, not more than 0.5% of those germplasm lines have ever been used more than that. I have been peanut breeder at Equiset for almost 25 years. And there, out of 15,000, we have used only 91 lines in developing about 8,500 breeding lines. And it's not that breeders don't want to use, but the point is which one of them to use. So it becomes really a problem of plenty. But how to get access to that? So these are basically two aspects: core collection, which was suggested by Sir Otto Frankel in 1984, and mini core concept, which we provided, which as a gateway to deep germplasm resources. And I'll take only one example of peanut, that how starting from entire collection of 15,000, you come to core, you come to mini core, then you evaluate, identify sources, and then see whether these sources really do something which breeders want, or it is just for a matter of presentation of papers or talking in conference. Only one example I'll take of oil content. And the example I take, there is a reason why I have taken that example. So we started developing core collection in late 1990s and early 2000s. Developed core collection of all our mandate crops. And you can see that first core collection was chickpea, so it was about 2,000 lines. And we were very happy, published paper, and said now breeders can evaluate these core collection and can identify sources of variation. But the question is, does any breeder is going to evaluate 2,000 lines in replicated or multi-location to identify few sources of for their use in breeding program? And the answer was, really, he's not going to use. Because I myself didn't use when I have 1,700 lines of groundnut core collection. The reason is that the size is still too large for meaningful evaluation. You can put it in augmented design, can collect data, and can identify a few lines, but not with the confidence. And breeders are smart people, let me tell you. They are not going to use something they don't have confidence in. So remedy we then suggested was that, look, instead of core, let's go a representative set which represents the diversity of core collection or entire collection and can give what breeder really wants. So we developed the mini core collection of first both chickpea, then groundnut, pigeon pea, sorghum, pearl millet, finger millet, and foxtail millet. And here you will see the numbers is in hundreds. So chickpea is about 211, groundnut is about 184. And this number you can evaluate multi-location, you can evaluate replication in replications, and can identify then the sources which you would like to use. And I'll take only one example of groundnut where we have identified. But before that, we have to really realize what are needs of plant breeders. They don't need 20,000 or 30,000 accessions. I would need only 5 to 8 drought tolerant line or early maturity line in chickpea, in groundnut, or high oil line, high OYL line, so that I can develop those lines. Who cares for 20 or 30,000 accessions? Unless you have reliable data on all of them, which no gene bank has, including Ecriset or anywhere else. Okay, so then what we did was, we evaluated these 184 accessions for different traits, for quality traits, for disease resistance, for agronomic traits, and for abiotic stress. All of them have been published in different years. And then out of 184, we recognize that 28 lines are such which are having multiple resistance to abiotic stresses: drought, heat, salinity, low temperature tolerance, these four, and biotic stresses, diseases, insect pest, aflatoxin, and others. Nutritional traits: oil, protein, iron, and zinc. These were the four, and oleic acid, four or five nutritional component. And then for 7 seasons, they were evaluated for agronomic performance. And then you can see that out of 184, 9 lines were such which were multiple stress resistant and nutritionally dense. And 4 of them yielded 3 to 33% more than the best control cultivar Ecriset has developed. So germplasm is not all junk, really. They have very, very useful material. So these are some of the, in each of the group, the most diverse lines, genetically based on, I think at that time we have only 21 SSR marker data in 2000, 2002. and then we use this. And then on 9 seasons, if you see the performance, one of the line is giving 2.5 tons per hectare yield. And in Indian condition, 2.5 tons per hectare yield is quite good. And this was I was talking about. So we had about 19 RIL populations, which were made for mapping oil content in groundnut. In last column you can see that there are some parents where high into high lines are there. Or clear, do I have this pointer somewhere? Okay. So if you see in the first one, high into high, and this is average of 2 seasons, NIR, not Soxhlet confirmed yet with Soxhlet. So let me make it very clear that let's not jump there. 70 means 70. We have to go and confirm with them that by the Soxhlet. That mean of, say, 13 lines in first RIL population was about 65%. Similarly, there were line in C7, 7th RIL, mean of 7 top high oil line was 67%, and the range was 63% to 71%. This trait was chosen because in 2000, when 1990, when ICRISET wanted to go for oil type of thing, it was recognized that look, oil is not going to increase much high. Morning, Charlie Simpson was telling that 43% to 52% oil is there. No, in germplasm, if you go systematically evaluating, up to 54-55% oil is there. But when you cross high into high oil line, you can really cross the line. And current breeding program, not from this, but another project which I am having, we have confirmed lines with confirmed 61% oil by Soxhlet, because there is a lot of variation whether you use NMR, NIR, and then Soxhlet. Similarly, thing we have done in chickpea, this I'm not going to talk about. And then trait-specific germplasm has been identified using mini-core collection in permlet, high temperature tolerance, salinity, and then transpiration efficiency in sorghum. Similarly, in permlet, blast, downy mildew, sorghum, and then multiple resistances for multiple diseases from the same 242 lines in sorghum finger millet, drought, salinity, foxtail millet, and then nutritional quality, groundnut, pearl millet, chickpea, sorghum, and then in bioenergy bricks, high bricks lines in sorghum have been identified from only 242, and quite a good number of them. And I do consider that as really a reverse funnel, a funnel approach, that you have entire collection, very little information, and very low use of germplasm. You have core collection, where 10% of accessions are there. You can evaluate, of course, with not high confidence, and then you can have some increase in use. But if you have a set which is a small, representative, so that meaningful evaluation can be there. We have provided 266 sets to the scientists in 36 countries for on request of these mini core collections. Then national programs in these 36 countries have identified sources for different traits and so different crops. And my colleague will talk about that. At ICRISET, we have published and genome of chickpea and pigeon pea, and now 3,000 accessions of chickpea, including core and mini core collection, are going to be sequenced. Composite collection, which was established in 2006, including the core collection of chickpea. And then we have used mini core collection of sorghum and different crop as association mapping panel for rust and grain mold in sorghum, anthracnose resistance, and then for the traits related to climate change, that how from different regions the land race is coming, what is the pattern of the change, and how the genotypic, the variation at SNP level is related with them. Then wild relatives, they are important source of disease resistance and insect pest, there is no doubt about it. And for last 30-35 years, pre-breeding program at ICRISET is going on with differential level of success. And I will take only one example in peanut, because tomorrow there is a presentation by my colleague over here. She is going to talk about pre-breeding in chickpea. And this is about how you enhance the gene pool of cultivated species in case of peanuts. And then by synthesizing, by say, it's amphidiploid, have B genome from Ipiensis and A genome from Duranensis, you synthesize and then can use the variation which was perhaps has been lost in last 5,000 or 7,000 years. At ICRISET we have used, this result is I'm going to talk about use of TXAG6 child, Dr. Simpson. We have used that line for enhancing the seed size and drought tolerance trait and yield in TMB2, which is one of the most popular variety. And here is the mean of 5 seasons in different trials, 7 trials you can see over here. And TMB2 is recurrent parent, and TXAG6 we know very, very poor yielding, but only resistance for late leaf spot and others. And the second column is having the 100 seed weight, 100% increase in 100 seed weight. And if you see the SCMR, which is related to drought tolerance in groundnut, much higher than TMB2. And we have a line where 100 seed weight is 139 gram. In Spanish background, I have 15,000 germplasm collection, and anything more than 80-85 gram is all Virginia type, not Spanish type. But the line in middle is Spanish, as I mean almost similar to TMB2, except high 100 seed weight and high yield. In PGNP, the efforts are to enhance the level of Helicobarba resistance using different species, Cajanus equitifolius, Scaraboides, Platycarpus, the tertiary gene pool, and various, whether through cultivated, the sources has been identified, and these are some of the lines with the traits which never existed earlier, say super early in chickpea. Drought tolerance with early maturity 91114, and this line is becoming popular in groundnut, one of the largest groundnut district going in the world. 800,000 hectares in single district, highly drought prone, and 91114 is becoming extremely popular there. And this is a product of breeding program using genetic resources. So in conclusion, I'll say that globally, we all recognize that unprecedented challenges are there, and genetic variation, which is conserved in these gene banks, is important, provided we have the reliable information on germplasm. What databases we do have, they do not generate much confidence in the among the breeders. Enhanced use of germplasm is needed, because most of the time you find that the lines involved in the popular cultivar are not more than 10 or 12 or 15 lines. Those are the basic, if you see the pedigree of all the cultivated lines, it will not be more than 10 or 12 lines. Then concept of formation of mini core collection and its utilization is an international public good used globally. And then trait specific genetically diverse successions are required so that you can enhance the trait. And if agronomic desirability is there in those germplasm lines, then breeders would readily use them. Otherwise, you will see that one line is used and then the allied lines derived out of that are used. At ICRI says, Chico early maturity line was used 3,000 times and then derived lines of Chico were used. But if you have agronomically desirable line, then germplasm lines will directly be used by the breeders. And wild relative can contribute very significantly, not only on enhancing the resistances, but even contributing the agronomic traits. But let's look at them as source for the trait which doesn't exist. Because the question will somebody ask that if you have 100 seed weight already available 80 gram in a particular background, why the hell you want to go for wild? It may be proof of concept, that's what, fine. But it may not have much practical implication. But you don't have 130 gram or 100 gram in Spanish background. And then climate resilient crop cultivar can be developed. And there are examples, some of them which I have given. And with that, I acknowledge the people at ICRI set, and my NARS collaborators and some of the people sitting over here. I acknowledge presence of Dr. B.B. Singh, who saved my career as a student and who has been the constant guide to me throughout my career. Thank you, Dr. Singh. Thank you very much.
We have time for one question. Okay, thank you, Hart. Wait, oh, good.
Such an excellent work. Are ICRISET breeders using your genes now?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, they are using now. And in fact, we analyzed the pedigree of last 5 years after development of mini core collections. There is 47% increase in use of germplasm. Because now if they want, they will know that, okay, this line is resistance to this, and reliable data along with agronomic background. So there is increased use of at least by 47%. We have analyzed pedigree of chickpea and groundnut. Yes, there is. Thank you.
Let's thank our speaker.